Hello, friends. Welcome back. This is the bonus episode. We're going to be all Q&A here on this episode. And I mentioned on Facebook there is a little contest going on from this episode. After we're done, we'll post a Facebook post with a picture of the new Married AF merch hoodie that we have. And listeners,
it was just my birthday present.
It was, and that. But listeners, go in and vote for whichever was your favorite question in the comments, and whichever question has the most votes, that person will win a free Married AF hoodie, and they will be the chosen one.
How many questions do we have on this evening?
We have a shitload. So it's going to be quite a bit, but if only one person votes, then that person wins. So it's going to depend on how many people go in and vote or feel like doing it. So,
all right. So let's get this party fucking
started. We're
going to
dive in. The first question comes from Star. She wants to know, how long have you been together?
8 years. It'll be 9 years. In July. Is it July or June?
One of those 2 months.
The date is on your...
Yeah.
Where is that picture that I made you, by the
in
way?
In my office.
In your new office, too?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. It's like July 8th. July 8th.
That sounds
it'll be
right.
It'll be 9 years.
How long have you been married?
That is 2 years.
October 5th will be 3.
Yeah, so we're like halfway-ish.
About halfway.
So we're newlyweds still, kind of.
Were you married before?
Before this marriage?
Yes.
Yes, the answer is yes and yes. Both of us were.
Yes, we both were. What did you learn from your first marriages? That's a loaded question.
That's, I mean...
A lot.
Yeah. I think we talked about this before, too.
We touched on it, yeah.
For me, I mean, you know, it was definitely... I learned what I didn't want, mainly. And that sounds bad. Not that, like, he was a terrible person. But it's like, I learned the kind of guy that I needed to be with to complement my personality better than he did. So that's, I mean, you know.
Yeah, for me, I mean, I learned the same thing, but I also learned what, you know, who I'm not good for. You know, it goes both ways. Even, you know, whether the divorce is mutual or not, you know, I think eventually both parties learned that they were not right for each other. And if I took any lesson away from it, it would be that once you know that your marriage is over, it's over, and you should end it and let everyone start to heal.
Yeah.
Instead of dragging it out.
You know what?
That would be my biggest lesson.
You know what I just thought of too, is that here's when I really knew, or when I should have known. But looking back now, this is a huge red flag for my first marriage, is that I would look at other people's relationships, certain aspects of it, like my parents or my sisters with their husbands, and I would be so jealous of certain things and like, you know, just how comfortable and how easy it looked. And like, if you're with somebody and that, and you're like, oh God, like, why can't it be like that at all? If any part of somebody else's relationship makes you reflect on your own as like, oh, I wish I had that. Then, I mean, to me, like, now that I look back on that, I'm like, oh my God, what was, I mean.
Yeah, that's a good place to start your evaluation. Agreed.
Yeah, because I wouldn't want to change anything about ours.
No, I mean, if you don't learn from your, if anyone that's been divorced, if you don't learn from your divorce, then something's wrong with you, you know, on both sides. It doesn't matter who's at fault or whatever. There's a lot to learn in that. Divorces are terrible. They're painful for everybody, especially if there's children involved. And
oh, it sucks all around.
Everyone needs time heals all wounds. That's a real, real thing. And so that would be my biggest takeaway. Yeah. And you just heard Brooks, so.
All right.
Good question, Star. All right. Patrick Motherway wants to know, after hearing Randall's story about the microwave, is it all right that I question his manhood?
I'll
let you tackle that first.
I don't know if you know this, Muddy, but it is fully installed and functioning and solid. It's got brackets and yeah,
it is quality.
He installed an outlet.
No more electrocution either. I did not get electrocuted.
He just needed a little trial and error at the beginning, I think. And the biggest issue with that was that he was trying to install this thing with me and Gunner here. I mean, I don't know what the hell you were thinking there.
Yeah, you got to have quiet space and not being bothered, especially when you're doing something that you don't know a whole lot about.
Right.
Like electrical work.
Right.
So that's huge. That was a big difference.
So no need to revoke the man card, Muddy.
No.
My man redeemed himself.
Another one from...
How many we got from Muddy?
Muddy. There's a big handful.
Yeah, Muddy, we had to exclude some of yours because although I found them fucking hilarious...
We both did.
Yeah, we both did. I mean, hilarious. Everybody else would be so lost. Yeah. Like,
our 5 or 6 listeners that don't know us personally would be like, what the fuck are they talking about?
And even everybody else that isn't Chad Weissmiller or Muddy.
What website are they talking about?
And why are they?
Why are they?
Who
proving
do they want
each
to
other
prove
wrong?
Yeah,
it wouldn't roll.
If only we had like a video archive of that weekend.
There's only pictures that live in infamy
and foggy memories.
We will do it again though, Muddy, one day.
Oh my God! If Ronnie Gilley ever gets out of jail and does Bama Jam again. Oh my God. That was one of the best weekends. But okay, what's his next question?
Blake Moses wants to know, I'll take on this one. Are banana hammocks okay for men to wear at the beach? And the answer to that is sometimes. They're never acceptable for skinny guys. Or guys that are just a decent build. You either have to be fat or muscular as shit to pull off
fat
little man shorts. Because they have to be ironic.
For comedic relief, yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
They have to be ironic. If it's anyone else is wearing them seriously, they never work. When someone's really trying to wear them.
Yeah, I feel like you and Blake are on the same page with this for sure. Like,
no, we're absolutely.
I feel like Blake probably has those same American flag tiny shorts that you have. And remember, Chris Pratt has them too. We found a picture of Chris Pratt wearing those
exact same ones
that you got in Fort Walton that caused quite the commotion on the beach.
It did. It worked.
You got recognized in a store the next day by some teenage
youngsters.
Girls. They were like, oh my God, it's that guy.
Yep.
I was like, back off, bitches.
So they can they can work. I do support them in isolated cases. And for Blake, absolutely. I do support them. For you, Blake, on the beach. Only if you're wearing sunscreen. Yes. Because you're like me. You have skin that can be destroyed by the sun.
And
you. And so I would expect you to be covered in the thickest motor oil-like sunscreen
available. Or under an umbrella, you know? Put the banana hammock on, kick it under the umbrella on a towel with some drinks.
Wouldn't hurt.
So do your thing.
Blake's second question. Mm-hmm. How old is too old for men to wear earrings?
If you're saying if it's man, then you're too old, right?
No, I have a specific age. My theory is the age of 30 or after your second kid, whichever one comes first.
Fair enough.
First kid could be an accident. You could still be partying. Second kid, you're making either bad choices and you need to wake up, or you got a family now. Kick the earrings out. That's just my opinion.
What about, okay, here's my...
My ears are still pierced, by the way, from when I was 18, I haven't worn earrings since nom.
I've never seen you wear an earring,
They're still open. I put one of yours in a while back.
Did you put earrings in, like, when we were Lady Gaga and Bret Michaels?
No.
Okay. So, I think I would allow it for over 30 if you gauged your ears like in your 20s.
I don't, because I think if you gauged your ears, you need to just own the big flap.
Yeah. I mean, I gauged my ears, but I specifically didn't go over a zero because I was told that that's the biggest you could go before you did like permanent. It's never going to go back to anywhere near normal. And and the holes in my ears are not normal. But, like, I wear my diamond stud things that my parents gave me decades ago, like, every day. So,
yeah, if you're... I reserve the right to change my answer, and I'm changing my answer. If you have committed to gauging your ears to, like, dinner plate size, you can wear yours till you die. Okay. It's only fair, because that is a big commitment.
Yeah.
So, there's my official answer.
Yeah, I've changed it. I'm going to need you to take the Hello Kitty earrings out, Blake.
Yeah, or...
Whatever.
The thing with Blake is he all of a sudden poured on a Speedo, a Mohawk, and Superman earrings.
Superman.
Threw it all down on one day, and that's diving in. I respect the commitment. But, man, that's a lot to take in.
Straight in the deep end with no floaties.
Yep. Okay.
All right, who's next?
Next.
Was there no more from Muddy?
Yeah. I'm just shuffling them in there so they're not over and over. This is from Muddy. I think Randall should get a Me Too tramp stamp. Do you agree, Brooke?
No, but... I mean,
I smell a bet.
God damn it. You took the words out of my mouth, Randall. I was just about to say, what can we bet?
smell a bet. But she'll lose.
And I'll end up
and
with
she'll
the
end
fucking
up with some kind of tattoo like, men rock or something.
No.
We would have to split that. that would be the absolute worst case tattoo for me. I would much rather get any other tattoo than a Me Too tramp stamp. But if the wager was right, Muddy, I would never say never.
Yeah. I'm trying to think what we could. I'm not doing it. I mean,
way to know, but we will.
And I have a terrible fucking track record for our bets, so I'm on shaky ground with that.
Muddy, or Patrick Motherway, also wants to know, and this is a serious question, and while I think he's trying to be funny with it, I think there's a deeper meaning. Mm-hmm. What are your feelings on the Lionel Richie video, Hello?
It's one of the greatest
I think
music
it is
videos of all time.
The greatest love story of all time.
Okay, yeah. But it, I mean, so Thriller's the number one greatest music video of all time. I mean, that one, I could watch that Lionel Richie Hello video. I could watch so many times. The Jimmy Fallon reenactment of it
is quite good.
Fantastic. I mean, it's just, it's
I put it before Thriller, Muddy, because I still quote Hello
all the time
more than I've ever quoted any other music lyric in history.
Yeah. No, that's my favorite, like, gif to text you if you just have been MIA for a while.
Yeah, there is, there's something to that special lyric and video. And he followed that up with a little caveat of, is it a done deal if a woman makes a bust of your face?
Like a done deal, like...
You're going to bang
I'm going to bang this chick.
Yes, you're going to bang
every
her
day.
Money.
Yeah, I mean, of course.
There's no doubt.
And if she's blind?
If
are
she's,
you kidding me?
But just the commitment.
Right,
to making a bust.
It's a lot of work.
Far... She's way out giving you the signal to to bring it on in. I mean, you're in the clear. Now, in today's society,
or is it too much?
I would still get written consent
and
you know, have it in Braille for her since she's blind.
And notarized.
But after all that said and done, yes. I mean, you're definitely going to wax it. So
you're getting,
it's a good question.
You're getting it.
Yeah.
All right.
Jerry, I think this was from Instagram, said, I want my kids to be mentally tough. How can I help ensure that it happens?
Oh.
That's easy, Jerry. Put them into wrestling or jiu-jitsu. Simple. If they're boys or girls, I mean, girls can wrestle and do jiu-jitsu. They can definitely do jiu-jitsu. Some of the most vicious little kid killers are girls in jiu-jitsu, so... I think in wrestling, I don't think there's any people more mentally tough than wrestlers.
Yeah.
Just from what they have to go through with the grind and the cutting weight and the meets and the one-on-one competition.
I think definitely some type of...
But any sport. Definitely have them
activity.
In sports. Or cheerleading. I mean, that...
Gymnastics, anything. Because, I mean, it's you know, mentally tough has to do with discipline.
And they need to fail. They need to feel failure. They need to do something that they're, you
know. And they need to be coached by somebody other than mom and dad.
Sure.
Too. You know, like, have that other adult figure in their life that they want to please, you know,
yeah,
like a coach or somebody that.
And that they don't have
they don't
wrapped
disappoint.
Around their finger. Like they do mom or dad, how they might have them wrapped around their finger.
And then every time they fall down, say, you're fine. You're fine. This is what Randall does to Gunner.
Yeah, he could be bleeding profusely.
And Randall says, you're fine.
You're fine.
Oh, my gosh.
You're fine. Shake it off. But, yeah, so I'd put them in some sort of athletics and, you know, something hard. Let them be challenged. Let them fail. Don't hide them from the failure. You know, save them from it. They need to feel it. People are so scared to lose now. Nobody's ever a loser in this participation trophy society now. And I think that's a big problem.
And the earlier you start them, the better. Because then they don't really know that they have a choice. Which they don't. I mean, some, you know.
Yeah. I mean,
they don't really know.
When they're young, it's up to you what you put them in until they can make that choice.
Right.
And you're going to set the tone on how they go going forward. So we've got Gunner in jiu-jitsu and baseball.
Yeah, he's been in jiu-jitsu since he was right after he turned 3. So he's been in over a year and then just started baseball. Loves both of them.
After baseball, he's going to start club wrestling. So he's already booked. We're going to bust his little ass.
He's not going to have any free time.
But that's a good question.
All right.
And I hope some more people do that, keep their kids involved in things. Okay. Patrick Motherway also wants to know, if you're not on iTunes soon, is it okay if I hammer wood splinters under your fingernails? not us, muddy. But the guy at iTunes, you can nail them under his fingernails.
Johnston.
Yeah, he has given us a hard time. What was
the other guy's name? Jenelson.
Yeah, Jenelson and Johnston. If you notice on our feed, right now our name is Married and Fun.
Yeah, this is all because of this fucking Apple. This is all
so we can get on iTunes, and do not worry. We all know what the real name is. Never going to change. It will be, it will all be fine in due time.
Even though one of the top podcasts on Apple is called Guys, We Fucked, with stars bleeping out the middle part of fucked, Married AF is considered self-censored / explicit. And you can't have any of that in the title, description, episodes, nothing.
It can be in your content because people aren't forced to look at your content. They have to choose.
Or listen, yeah. But so. What
they can see and be offended by browsing, mm-hmm. which is fucking ridiculous.
Oh my God, it's so annoying. It
drives me nuts. We're already on Google Play, which has as high standards as iTunes, Stitcher, Digital Cast, iHeartRadio is about to be carrying us, and iTunes is just giving us a hard time. But
yeah,
we'll see. That's we're still trying. So that's who I would say to put the splints under their nails, Muddy.
Yes.
Okay, so mark that off. All right, now we're gonna go to our good friend Rachel. If you could give one piece of financial advice to newlyweds, what would it be?
No credit cards.
I think you can have an emergency credit card only. If I'm going to compromise, I would rather do what you're saying, none. Mm-hmm. If you have to have one for emergencies or gas and you keep it paid off, do that.
Yeah,
we're speaking from experience. Believe it. We've made every mistake you can make. And also, student loans, get those taken care of or don't get them.
But if you're, yeah, might be too late when you're getting married. But yeah, I mean, borrow as little money as humanly fucking possible. Pay for as much as you can flat out and literally only finance your house. And don't get too big of a house where, you know, you're house poor with your payment. Your car, you know, get, if you have to have a payment on your car, make sure it's...
Drive it till that bitch falls apart. Till it falls apart and it's paid off. And
well, it should be paid off long before it starts falling apart. Exactly, but drive it. Yeah.
People flip their cars and end up upside down. We did it for years. You end up so far upside down, it's fucking ridiculous.
Shit, not me. This is my second car that I've had, that I had a payment on, and that motherfucker's been paid off for.
I know, and we'll keep driving it till it lights itself on fire.
I've had that car now for almost, it'll be 9 years in September.
Yep.
Because it's a 2010, and I got it in 2009. So yeah, I mean, just borrow as little money as possible.
Stay in your lane. That would be my advice. Don't try to keep up with the Joneses. That shit doesn't matter. You know, live within your comfortable means, whatever that is. You can always make money stretch. It's amazing what you can do when you have to. But don't fucking try to get the big house to be like everyone else. You know, screw that shit. Stay affordable. Have a plan. Mm-hmm. Stay budgeted when you can.
And if you can put money, like, that's the one thing that, you know, I wish we have done. I mean, we have, like, my 401k, but I'm like, for savings, I would suggest, and I keep saying I'm going to do this, is put your savings in, like, a completely different bank than the one that your checking account is in. So that there's not any kind of easy, like, let me just transfer some money over from the savings. Sure. That, I mean, you know, have it
absolutely
20, 30, 40 bucks, whatever, from your paycheck.
Where you never see it.
Directly deposited into this other bank savings account so that it's truly, like, building and that you don't touch it. And I keep saying I'm going to do that, and I haven't yet.
Agreed.
So maybe I'll do that one now that I've said that out loud.
Here is Rachel's big bombshell, and I respect the guts. How often do you have sex? Once a week or more than that? For us, way more than that.
Yeah,
that's not to toot any horn or anything like that, or to try to sound all cool, but a lot more than that. I have a threshold and an expectation just where I know my comfort zone is for us. And you got to remember, guys, women are different, totally different when it comes to sex. Guys, no matter what you want to say, we love ski to fuck ski. That's all there is to it. And that's how guys, you know, can feel love, is we feel it through sex. Women are flipped. So it's not, you know, you have to understand where that urge is coming from. It's deep in our hunter-gatherer.
If you understand that, and like, it's kind of a you scratch my back, I scratch yours kind of thing, in that capacity that, like, if you're keeping your husband satisfied, I feel like he's going to also do everything in his power to keep you happy because you're keeping him happy in the bedroom.
Agreed. 100%.
And that's not necessarily like a calculated thing. Like, sure. I mean, I just like to do it with you. But
no, I agree.
It's also an added bonus that I have found along the way that, hey.
Yeah, 100%. That works and helps in every aspect.
But yeah, I mean, it's if.
And everybody's different. We're not trying to say that's everybody, but I mean, I'll give you my number of what I expect, Rachel. And it's not like I'd lay that down of like, we better have this number, but it's in my head, is 7 day week, at least 5 times.
Okay. I was going to say, you start pouting if we miss more than one night.
Oh, in a row?
Yeah.
Absolutely. So the 5 is what I'm saying, where there can be an occasional one of those missed, but 5 in a week is the standard for my insatiable appetite. But what women have to remember, and it's hard for women, so I'm not judging women or being mad at them, I'm just trying to explain to them how guys look at it, is you have to remember, your husband not just wanting, you can't look at it like, oh, he just wants sex. No, he wants sex with you. There's a difference. Because he could just be wanting sex with anything that moves. And he doesn't. You know, he wants sex with you, his wife. And that's where what Brooke was saying comes into play. Where, you know, you got to find some give and take. Now, I know there's points in life where shit gets in the way. You know, you got other shit going on. There's going to be lower periods and higher periods. But one time a week to me would be some old bullshit. And
he would be so grumpy.
Oh, I would be more than grumpy.
I would be too, though. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I would be, I'd be hurting. Yeah. In a big way. But your next question, her follow-up to that, which these are great questions. I respect her just for asking it because they're important, you know, and I know that Rachel and
props, Rachel.
And Kyle are pretty newly married.
They've been married longer than us.
Have they?
Yeah.
Yeah. But we've been together. I mean, and they may have been together a long time. But
no,
we've been together.
Remember, they came on our boat.
Yeah, I remember.
Right when they first started dating, I think.
Yeah.
So we were together. We've been together for longer, but they've been married longer.
Probably, yes. But we're older.
For sure. Definitely. Because
so,
he's friends with Denny.
Yeah. So I can give you that advice. But she also wanted to know, is it lame to schedule sex?
I don't think so.
No. No and yes from me. No from Brooke. I think that there's totally nothing wrong with scheduling your alone time.
Right.
Not at all.
Yeah.
But if you're looking at the watch and, you know, just don't kill the romance with the scheduling. But you can schedule your time 100%. Nothing wrong with that at all. And eventually that'll become kind of like a standard. We're in that zone of time where somebody's going to get banged. And just let that happen. You know, you don't do those schedule, be looking at the watch or anything like that.
I mean, if you're trying to have a baby or something, I feel like that just, is counterproductive, like if you're checking ovulation stuff and things like that, like trying to schedule it, that gets a little bit.
No, but just bang a lot.
Right. That's what we're, I mean, that's our philosophy with that is like, just throw everything you got at it. Because yeah. I don't want to say, yeah, I mean, that would just, for me, that part of it would just make it not as fun. Like, oh, what day is it and what time? And but as far as like, yeah, we need to have, I mean, like later tonight, it's happening, yeah. Like scheduling like that. That's totally
tapping
cool with that.
Tapping on the watch and saying, hey, we got 5 minutes till time.
Let me pencil you in.
I wouldn't recommend that, but if it works for you that way, cool. Yeah.
I mean, everybody's schedules like could be way crazier than ours, too.
Yeah, so. But there's also, if you're ever in a drought, there's a really cool thing, and you can Google it. I just saw it when I was looking at the love language thing, which I'll get to that. That was another question from Amy, one of our friends. There's a 7-day sex challenge for married couples that is really cool. And so if you've got, you know, if you got time and you're interested, take a look at that. It's pretty science-based. I just saw it today, but it's very backed up by a big study and supposedly can help get people on a more fuckable track.
Really?
Yeah, so if you're having issues. No, God, no. I just skimmed it. But give it a check if you need to. There's no shame in looking into shit like that and asking those questions either, because that's the biggest, most important thing to me in a marriage.
For sure. If your sex life isn't good, then
you got all kind of fucked up problems.
Yeah.
That are going to spawn off of the unsatisfying sex life.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a huge part.
So great question. Great question. All right, we're going to go back to a question from Muddy.
Mm-hmm.
When you go on long road trips, who drives and why?
Me. Because I get car sick, usually, is why.
And why else?
And because Randall's never comfortable driving. He's always complaining about arms or feet or...
No, really it's because I already drive a lot with the going back and forth to get Griffin every other weekend, which is fine. That's, you know, I have no problem with that. That's my job. But so whenever we do something outside of that, Brooke usually volunteers for one, even though she just didn't say that as the answer. That's a big part of it. And two, yes, because she does get car sick. She definitely can't sit in the back. And usually Griffin, especially when he was younger, he would get car sick.
Oh, the two of us were
so fucked. They'd be up front and I'd be stuck in the back by the car seat, like fat guy in a little coat, because I could be the only one that could ride in the back.
Yeah, I mean, I can ride in the front seat as a passenger just fine on like interstate road trips, but like if we're on any kind of windy roads, that's a wrap. I need to be driving and blah. But
yep.
Yeah, it's usually me.
All right. So what do we got next?
Well, to go with the love language one, I just went and pulled mine up. Who is that from?
Oh, Amy.
Mm-hmm.
Her question was, what are your individual love languages?
All right, well, Randall already told you what his was.
Mine is obviously physical touch. I did take the the test, Amy, and that confirmed it. I knew that beforehand, but yeah. I did want to see how the test came out.
I think most guys and are probably that.
I think if they're honest, it will be that. That's just in our DNA.
Women are way more complicated, so we're going to be all over the fucking board with this. I mean, and I think I could probably get a different answer every day, depending on my mood, taking that test.
Mm-hmm.
You think?
Possible.
Maybe I'm not
but
that
But what did you get?
Crazy. So I got words of affirmation. So I need Randall to tell me I'm pretty a lot and that I'm doing a good job.
She's awesome.
And that I'm awesome. I need
reassurance.
Just tell me I'm pretty. And then closely followed by Quality Time, which is, I think, makes a ton of sense. I mean, I think they both make a ton of sense. I mean, I know that I need words of affirmation. Just love me.
And I think that just falls right into line with what we said about the sex thing that covers it. It's all real.
Yep.
Women and men are definitely different. I mean, you have to find a way to satisfy both of those different love languages.
And in part, you wanting to have sex with me all the time kind of is telling me that I'm pretty.
It should. For sure.
I mean, I see it that way.
It is the truth.
I also like to hear it, but I do see it that way, too.
It is legit. Okay, so we got another three from Patrick Motherway. I'm going to fire these quick. These are quick one-word answers. Negan or Rick?
Oh, fuck. Negan. Oh, no, Rick.
Crazy Rick for me.
Just solid Rick.
I don't like Pussyfoot Rick. And honestly, for the leadership skills, I would lean more toward Negan, his way in that world. I think I would go Negan.
Yeah, that's, his tag, that's how I would
be more.
I'm just, Rick's, I mean.
Rick's just been the guy for so long. Everyone's vested and has a relationship with him. But as far as tactics go, you can't argue with Negan. I know we hated that he bashed in Glenn's head and Abraham's head.
And he's so fucking charming.
But he had to fucking set an example.
Mm-hmm.
He had to do what he had to do. So I'm going Negan.
All right, I'll go buddy. Rick. What's the next one?
Biggie or Tupac?
Tupac.
Tupac for damn sure. We don't even need to go any further than...
Enough
said. I get around. That's all you need to know for me. That was my jam my sophomore year in high school.
Yeah.
Still clown with the underground when I come around. Absolutely.
Me and my girlfriend.
His last one is, I ate a plate of toast at the Gates house for breakfast. Is that a Southern thing?
What the fuck is the Gates house?
One of our friends in high school.
Oh, okay. I thought that was like some kind of weird restaurant, like the Beacon in North Carolina.
I don't think it's a Southern thing, buddy. I think it's a somebody in the Gates family grew up poor, like my family, because I eat plates of toast all the fucking time. Still do.
Yeah, toast?
You've seen me with piles of toast in the morning.
Yeah, he'll make 7 pieces of toast.
Easy.
Stacked up on a plate, and I don't even want one.
And it sounds delicious. No. So it could be Southern or poor. I mean, the Gates weren't poor when we were in school, but maybe, I don't know what Mr. Gates' background was. I know he was a hardcore son of a
but
bitch.
Muddy,
he was a tough guy.
What did you put on your toast? Like good jelly, or was it just butter?
Was it a jam?
I
just do butter.
Randall just does butter.
Occasional grape jelly to dip it in.
And, of course, burns the shit out of it.
Well, the butter then softens the burn down to a
The luscious. Toast that you eat just looks like it's going to just rip the roof of my mouth to shreds. And
it's delicious.
Yeah, it doesn't look fun or good or tasty to me. Sorry.
Plates of toast are fantastic, buddy. You should have more of them.
Yes.
All right. We've got, I think we're about to wrap up. We've got one from a Patrick of Instagram. What is your favorite non-physical trait about each other?
Non-physical?
For me, that would be, I've kind of mentioned that before, but it's going to sound cheesy as shit, but... You know, the saying where you want somebody that'll, you know, dance with you in the rain like no one's watching. I would say that. Brooke will do. She's down for whatever. Doesn't make me feel stupid for the stupid things that I want to do and doesn't care what people think. She'll just jump right in with me and either. She always comes out looking like a winner in it anyway, so it's fine. But Even if we look like asses, she doesn't care. And neither do I, but it's good to have a partner in
as
that.
As long as we're together looking like asses. So, I would say just the as how much he makes me laugh. I mean, that's huge for me. Like, even if I'm frustrated about something or, I mean, who knows what. Like, Randall always can find a way to make me laugh about something silly. Or, like, I'm not a morning person. Here's a perfect example. I'm awful in the mornings. Like, so when I wake up, immediately gonna not be in a great mood, but then he'll wake up and start singing to John or just being ridiculous, and
it helps.
It does. It just, I'm just like, I love you. Singing about toast, maybe.
All right. We're going to finish it with...
Oh, there's another one?
One more from Muddy, for the love of God, Patrick.
For fuck's sake, Muddy.
Give Patrick the damn hoodie. We're just going to give Patrick the hoodie. Now, where's the damn question? Oh, yeah. What will the guests on your podcast get in their swag bags? Here's the deal, Muddy Tits. We went on the Burt Show, biggest show in Atlanta, and we got a big old bag of dick.
I got a tattoo in the studio. Well,
I didn't get a Burt Show t-shirt. I didn't get a Burt Show bumper sticker.
We didn't get a shot glass.
We didn't get anything. An ashtray, nothing.
Mean, it was early as shit in the morning, but I thought they were going to have something for us. But, yeah.
And they got tons and tons of money.
So what are you saying? Because we didn't get Dick Squad at the Burt Show, we're not.
No. We're better than that. We're going to give you something. Hugs, maybe a t-shirt. You know, if this...
We'll give you some beers while you're
here. Some of this merch. You'll definitely get beers. Beers... Any merch that we have, we would give to guests something. May not be your size, but you could find someone to give it to. And just a big ass bowl of hugs and love.
Gunner will draw you a picture. We got stickers.
We'll give you a bunch of dog hair from John.
We got...
And stinky breath from him licking you.
Yeah.
You're welcome to all that. Mi casa, su casa. So,
yeah, I mean, you know, come on down and be on the podcast, Muddy, and you'll find out.
Yep. You will not be disappointed in what you leave with. And I think that's it. I think we covered them. So, yeah, I think we're good.
Yeah, everybody vote on what your favorite question is, and then whatever gets the most votes will get one of these awesome hoodies. I'm wearing it right now. Randall got it for me for my birthday.
It is the shit. The picture doesn't even do it justice. They're awesome.
Super comfortable. I love it.
And it will be yours.
Not this one. No. Another
one. Another one. If the listeners will make it be. So.
Yeah.
Get out there and vote, and we will announce who gets it later.
Get out there and be somebody.
Yep. We'll post something up there for you to comment on tonight or in the morning. It'll just be a picture of the hoodie, and it'll say, post your votes here. It'll be on Facebook, so that's going to be your best bet.
Yep.
Check us out there, and then we'll be back. That will go through. We will announce the winner Monday, so you only have until...
Over the weekend.
Yes. So the cutoff is Sunday at midnight, the last post.
And you know there's fucking baseball practice Monday.
Yeah. Cool.
Great. Of course.
But we will be back then with the Walking Dead recap and all the other shit. With a normal episode, so we'll holler at y'all then.
Bye.
Get the fuck out.